Ladies and gentlemen, this is Das Hobby, Germany's number one trading card show. And here are your hosts with the perfect podcast faces, Marcus and Dennis.
Ladies and gentlemen, as promised, another wonderful Das Hobby podcast, as you guys figured out, in English today, once again. And the reason is a very special person, and I hope a very special story that I found on Instagram, actually. Today's guest is Papa Jim. Hello, sir.
Hey, Dennis. How are you, sir?
Good. Wonderful. Thank you for being here. So where are you right now? Where do
I am actually in the heat zone of Texas in the United States.
The heat zone. Okay. Yes. Yes. Meaning, so how hot is it right now?
Meaning that the last couple of weeks it's been 100 degrees plus, just the temperature. And then factor in the heat index with the humidity, and we're looking at 105 to 110. So,
Wow.
That's typical. Okay. I grew up here, so I'm used to it.
Okay. So Texan in and out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. So, and also
honored to be here too. I appreciate you reaching out wanting to know more about this story of my dad. Appreciate that so much.
You're welcome. Like when I read about it, I was like, I have to get in touch with this guy because that's such a unique story. So without further ado, give people a little introduction about your journey. And yeah, how did it start? What happened, sir?
Well, growing up, I knew that my dad had played baseball, but he never really talked about it. Anytime that I would bring it up or ask him questions on it, whenever we would play catch or anything like that, he would usually either change the subject or he wouldn't even talk about it. It was kind of like going in deaf ears and all. And so I always wondered about that, kind of what that was. Growing up, I really didn't collect cards. He and I would stop off at the Ramada Inn going to church on Sunday mornings. And there was a lady there that back then they had, cards would come in like loaves of bread back in like 76. Tops was putting them out. You know, and so I actually, at one of the card shows, I actually found some of those, you know, some of that set and everything. So it kind of got me back into it a little bit. Also, he passed away about 8 years ago. And about 4 years ago, my stepsister came across some scrapbooks. And so it kind of started that journey because nobody in the family knew. I've got three older siblings. My oldest brother's 14 years older than me. He'd never seen them. He didn't know anything about them. And also it was just like, okay, here's an avenue I need to jump into and find out why dad didn't talk about it. You know, what all was his, where all did he go? I mean, I knew a few of the stops along his minor league career and through high school and college, but not to the extent that I've been able to find at all.
So what were your first steps then? So how do you start this journey?
First is that it's kind of like putting a puzzle together, seriously, and all. And so you've got to kind of get, for me, whenever I sit down and do a puzzle, I usually pick out all the outside pieces. I want to get a frame. Here's my border. Here's where I'm working. So here's a starting point and an end point. And so I kind of knew, okay, we're talking 1951, high school, senior year high school. And then we're talking 55 was the year that I knew that he had gotten out of the minor leagues. So it was filling in those gaps. I knew a few places, you know, he had gotten a scholarship at Southern Methodist University here in Dallas, Texas. He had played there. He had gone down to a place in Southwest Texas, a little town, Alpine, played semi-pro ball there. Then he went out to Salt Lake City and played for the Bees, which I come to find out that's where that was Mike Trout's last minor league team that he played for before he went to the A's.
Okay.
So it's a cool little correlation there that I find things out as I'm doing this research. Then from there, he went to the Phillies minor league team in Reidsville, North Carolina in 55 and was there and played with some people. And then after that, it was kind of like, what happened? Well, going through these scrapbooks and doing just Google searching on newspapers.com and anywhere that I can find, I found out that he ended up, his name was pulled. Back then it was selective service in the United States. Everybody's name was in the hat for military service, whether you went overseas or not. It was during the Korean War in the 50s. And so his name was pulled. So that's how he ended up not finishing his full season at that minor league Phillies. After his 2 years, then it was kind of like, after that, it was with my older brother being born, it came to a point that I guess there was a meeting of the minds, or my wife and I have discussed this, and I think what it was my mother was an only child. Mm-hmm. And so you've got that. Then you've got their first child and all is a son. And then you've got a father-in-law who's a little bit headstrong, who's got his own business and things like that. So you've got that kind of a pool of, here's a decision for you to make, young man. You know, you can stay with my daughter and your son, or you can go play your baseball. And it was one of those decisions, I believe, is probably what it was. Nobody in the family knows. Both my mom and dad are passed away. And so, you know, the way I title this is just buried answers.
What drives you? Is it like a form of closure? Is it like...
It's just finding out. It's like, what was the big kind of... I mean, you've got a son that's interested. You've got to put yourself I'm putting myself in his position too, and kind of like, okay, I've got a son. Had he been asking me, I'd have told him, you know, hard or not. You know, yeah, that was a tough decision. I mean, you're basically hanging up your dream that you have worked through since high school and junior high. Here's your dream to get in the major leagues. I found a piece of paper where he wrote it down, my dream, major league baseball. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you've got to make the decision. Was it and then you go back to, well, was it the right decision, wrong decision? You know, it's all that stuff. But it's just driving me to find out more, to find out, who he played with. Also, when he was at the Phillies, he played with a gentleman by the name of Dallas Green, was one of his teammates. Mm-hmm. The Phillies people know who this is. Dallas Green played with them and then actually ended up coaching them in the 1980 World Series. It was the first World Series that they had ever won. Okay, and so we went from player to manager. And it's like, had I known things like this back when I was in high school in the 80s or even out of high school, I'd have found these people. I'd have made the trip. Where does Dallas Green live? Let me sit down with him, you know, because he's got to have a few stories there too, you know, about it. So there's him. There's half a dozen people that I know of through my letters and through my research that he crossed paths with. Mm-hmm. And it had to be an exciting time for him at that time, you know, playing.
I totally agree with you. So if I would put myself in a father's shoes, you cannot tell a way more exciting story than, hey, I was close to being a professional baseball player. That's a cool story. Your kid would be like, oh, yes, Dad.
Exactly. Yeah. If I didn't care, I wouldn't have been asking the questions.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess on the flip side of that too, Dennis, is that you've got to think of the hurt or the pain and, you know, do I want to open this up? Do I want to open this wound back up to a son? And then here comes more questions. And so a lot of times it may be easier sometimes as fathers just to cut that out. And then I think that's what he did overall over time. I'll get real personal, Dennis. The last 4 or 5 years, he had Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And so it was going from him knowing who I was to him not knowing me at all. Mm. And a lot of people go, oh, my gosh, I feel so bad for you. No, for me, that was a great time because he was telling stories of his past, of when he was a kid. The only thing he did not talk about, though, Dennis, was that baseball time. I would even ask him questions, and it was like that time period right there is blocked out of his memory. Okay. Whether before or after Alzheimer's, it didn't matter. It was blocked out.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. Maybe the pain sits so deep,
Yeah, it could that way. And you know, so that's one of the reasons why it propels me to look through. I've got about 3 months of letters that he wrote one way to my mom. And so there's things in there, or I'll find an article. I'll pull this off wall right here that I found an article in newspaper.com that they went on January 1. They took a trip to go to the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas and all. Well, I'm doing research. I thought, okay, Cotton Bowl, Dallas. Let's see who was playing. It was Jim Brown's last collegiate game that they went and sat and watched him.
Wow.
And so you've got these connections like this just through a little research. So I found a commemorative ticket, and then I just find a couple of cards to go with it. And here's a little display from that time period, knowing that. Nobody in my family knew. Not a soul. But it's finding little things like that in articles, and it's just like, man, that makes the research and the trip and finding it is just so cool.
So, and what do your siblings say? Are they like, Jim, leave me alone with that stuff, or are they supportive?
No, they're supportive. A lot of them, yeah, they're supportive. They like it. They think it's cool. I'm hoarding them, so to speak, because I know, because I know how some of them. I'm getting it, and I'm trying to go through it and share. Mm-hmm. Where you've got some siblings and families and stuff like that, if they get something, nobody else would know about it. So, I'm trying to share and let them know things that are coming up. And I've heard a few stories, but I'm trying to base all my research off what I'm finding, because the stories can be true or false depending on, they were told or not told, things like that and all. But it's neat to be able to try and piece this puzzle together. And then as I'm going down this road, there's little avenues and all. You get a baseball schedule and you see a couple of semi-pro teams that they played back in the 50s during Korean War. And you're like, I wonder about them. And then you read that article and it talks about Don Newcomb and two or three others. And then it's like, hold it. I know Don Newcomb. He played in 52. I mean, he was a pitcher, the Dodgers and all that. He actually played again. He was in San Antonio with their team. They actually went to Alpine and played with my dad. He played against him. And these are like major league MLB players that get in the draft. And if they don't go overseas, they're put somewhere. If you have enough of them, they make a team. Yeah. And so it's like, okay, let me find this roster. Let me get these cards of these guys that are there. Because you've got a 1952 Don Newcomb Bowman card. He didn't play that year. They pulled him at spring training.
Okay.
The military did. So it's just little interesting facts like that. And it's like, oh, let me see these, see if I can get them. A couple of the guys on that list, Dennis, they already had World Series rings. Yeah. Now, would you like as a college kid to have these pro guys coming down here that have already been to the big game? Mm-hmm. Already played, and there's no doubt they had interaction after the game. They talked to them, sat down with them. I mean, and all that was just the way that coach was with that team. And all in getting them in there. So it was just, it's all these stories and questions that are just going everywhere. So I'm trying to finish them and the best I can.
Do you have one or two of those little highlights or stories when you heard them, you were just like, are you kidding me right now? So what is this? I mean, you shared some of them, but is there like a favorite story that you find out?
I guess it would be there was a player that played for the Dodgers, Norm Cash. Mm-hmm. He played like 16 years for the Detroit Tigers. Mm-hmm. It's cool to find out that he played with him when he went down there to Alpine. He played with him in 1953 on the team. I've got a picture on the wall right back here, a type of both of them, playing. So they played. When Dad got through there, he went out to Salt Lake City and played for the Bees in 54, Salt Lake City Bees. Well, he was doing correspondence work because he was trying to finish his degree. And when he finished there, instead of going to the Phillies, he came back to Alpine to actually coach and all and finish up his degree. It's cool that he played with Norm Cash and then he came back in 54 and actually coached him on the field and all. And Norm Cash was playing outfield. Dad was one of the four coaches, so Dad was coaching him and all. And this was 54. And to think in 4 years later, you're seeing him playing on TV. And it's things like that, Dennis, said, I'm like, what was Dad thinking? He's looking at this guy that just 4 years ago, he was coaching. 5 years ago, he was playing ball with the guy, playing catch with him or doing, whatever and all. And to think about, 4 years later, here he is. And then goes on for, like 15, 16 years in the majors, has a very successful, career and all like that.
So we're obviously a collectible podcast. So when you show up at some of those card shows and you tell your story, what's the first reaction from the people?
A lot of them, because I've because what I do is, let me get this for you.
Yeah, of course.
Yep.
Okay.
So when I go to a card show, I usually have this little thing around my neck, which is a picture of my dad.
Okay. Yeah, nice.
That's pretty good right there. So yes. That usually gets a conversation going.
Mm-hmm.
So it kicks off that way. And when they're interested in the story, and then a lot of times they're like, well, hold it. I may have some of those cards. So it gets into that kind of a thing. Or they may know somebody within the card show.
Mm-hmm.
Joe over here in the corner, have you been back there to him? He's got all kind of vintage cards. You know, mm-hmm. He may have that Bowman that you're looking for. I've got a list of cards. I mean, I keep them in a top loader. But here's the list of the teammates that were on that team with Don Newcomb. So I'm looking for these specific cards and all. So I'll take this with me and have it in my pocket and just ask the different dealers. And then it gets the story going a lot of times with this too, you know, because they're asking, you know, hey, who's that? It's my dad. He played for the Phillies in 55. Oh my God. And then it gets going that way. So it's just so cool though. I mean, be able, and this is basically kind of my collection, is to research this and find anything related to any of these.
I love this story. I love the way how you approach it, and I love the tenacity too. I mean, you really stay on the case, right?
Yes, sir. And I mean, it's a love. I mean, and there are collectors that are just as passionate about somebody they don't even know, or they may at one time that it's their PC guy, and then they may have met him, and they're just as passionate about finding his cards. Or doing research or finding out, you know, things about them. And also
it's wonderful. So we heard that pretty often here in the podcast, especially if you have people who collect something very unique, so, or have a unique journey. People in the hobby usually are very helpful.
Like, yes, they are.
You want to meet that guy, or I heard about this, and there is this connection. I mean, because we are all a little weird with our collecting thing, so we are on the same level immediately with our nerdiness.
Yes, sir.
So, it's good to hear that people are really open and ready to help.
They are, and one of the things too, Dennis, I've got to say, I wouldn't be able to do this had it not been with the support of my wife either.
Mm.
That's the other thing that gets missed out a lot in this hobby, is that you're seeing the guys out here and then you're seeing their collections and things like that. But it's like, okay, but do you have that support back at home?
Yes.
Do you have the freedom to take a weekend like I've done before and get all this scrapbook out and just spread it out on the kitchen table and leave it there for the weekend going through?
Yeah.
I'm blessed that I do. I've got that. My wife's just as excited about it when I find something than I am. And so excited is that, I'll tell you this real quick, is that this summer our granddaughter graduated in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Gone through one of the letters, and my dad had written to my mom the trip that he took to spring training
mm-hmm.
back in 54. It mentioned a lot of the towns that were kind of not far off our route. So she was like, hey, we got to go there. We actually found the place called Pat's Courts mm-hmm. where my dad and the team stayed in 54 for spring training.
Wow.
That place was still there, man. I took pictures of it. She took a little video. I even found postcards on eBay for like $2 or $3. Those are priceless, man. You know,
amazing.
It's little stuff like that. And to go through and find the route, to find the railroad track intersection where he got off the train after 4 days on the train coming from Texas to there, and all, and to find that and just be, wow, you know, 70 years ago, you know, 21-year-old dad was getting off the train here, you know, just not a care in the world and ready to play ball.
That's so amazing. Like, you just mentioned those postcards. Do you have like a favorite piece, a favorite card, something where you would say this is it?
Yes. There was when my cousin Craig and I are about the same age, when his mm-hmm. mother passed away a couple of years ago, and I went to the funeral, he said, I've got a couple of things of your dad's that I'll bring to you. I'm like, okay. So we're done with all that, and we're at the restaurant, and he pulls his sack up, and he pulls out this face mask, this catcher's mask.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually right If I can get my thumb right, which is actually
I see it.
Mask on the wall and all.
Yeah.
He's like, here, this was your dad's. And I'm like, no, dad was never a catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. I mean, my cousin knew that my dad was a catcher and I didn't.
Okay.
But then going through some of the articles, I found a little article that talks about my dad being a catcher. And so it goes with that. There's that. The other thing is he gave me two baseballs from one of the games. It was a game used ball that my grandmother wrote on there, the date on there, 1955, from one of the last games that dad played.
Mm-hmm.
Two actually game used balls. You can still see the Carolina League imprint on that ball. And they're sitting on the shelf up here. And those are a couple of items that I couldn't believe it. And so the other thing was when we were on our trip, Dennis, when we were coming back, there was actually a game in Danville on Father's Day. I did a post about it, and I took that ball, man. You take that ball, you take those memories, and you take that ball and go, hey, this ball's coming back to where it played 70 years before in the same town, not the same stadium, didn't matter, but it's in the same town. That 70 years ago, they were there watching my dad play and all. And it's just little stuff like that you can find. You know, I found pennants and stuff on eBay and things like that. And it's just, it's a cool journey that I don't know if I'll get to the finish line with it, so to speak. There'll still be some missing pieces of the puzzle, Dennis, but it'll be, it's cool though.
So of course, I don't know if you can answer that, but what are the missing pieces? So is there something where, you know, this is where I'm running into a wall. Like, I don't know.
I've got a couple of brick walls and I'm, you know, you hear about these bounties for these cards and stuff that come out, you know, $100,000 bounty for these cards. I'm seriously thinking about putting $100 bounty, giving $100 to somebody if they can find out the number of my dad when he played for the Reedsville Phillies minor league team.
Okay.
No records of that. There was 1 year that they were in Reedsville. They were in, they were called the Reading Phillies.
Okay.
And they still have a team there. But Reedsville, they were there just in 55 for that 1 year. And there are no records. And I'm thinking everybody had I had one gentleman, and this goes back to the greatness of this hobby, is that I've had one gentleman that found me a picture of a guy that had Phillies on it, and it had the number in the front, and then it said he had to have a number in the back, but it was the only picture that he was able to find of the Phillies back at that time period that played there.
Mm.
He sent that picture, so he said the number's on the front too. Don't just look for the back if you can find anything. But he said this, but that was just, you know, somebody going through my Instagram and read that and sent me a DM, and then next thing I know, here comes a picture. Like, it wasn't of my dad. It was of an oddball player, but still, it's knowing that.
When did you start with that journey? What year was it?
Oh, goodness. It's been probably 2.5-3 years ago.
Okay.
And it just, as I get time, you know, with life and family and grandkids and all that, as I get time, I take the time and sit down, and as I come across stuff, I'll post it on my Instagram.
Yeah.
And I
think that's what social media is for, you know, to share things, but also that people can get in touch and help. Like, I think social media sometimes is misused so much for bullshit, but what you have is so wonderful. And I think, of course, it helps you also to find out. It's like,
it does. And then who knows, you know, because I'm sitting here thinking, and I had somebody actually tell me that, you know, you got enough here, you could probably put a book together.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was crazy. And then the more I think about it, and the more I'm like, you know, how, because I kind of backed off of this in a way. And then I took another look at it, and I'm thinking, well, no. Hey, you know, dad's story maybe needs to be out there. Maybe it will inspire or help somebody else that may decide they want to research a certain player or something like that. So it's like, hey, I'm going to keep doing this and all. And it goes back to, you know, because in this hobby, as you know, a lot of people are doing it for the clicks or the likes or the number of followers and all that.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, if what you're doing now and you continue to do it and your followers went from whatever they are down to zero or one,
yeah,
would you continue to do it?
Yes.
For me, yes. I wouldn't care if it went down to two or three people or zero. I'm still going to post what I post. You can either like it or you don't. It doesn't matter because there's an avenue for everybody in this hobby.
Yeah, 100%. And I think like a book or like a documentary or whatever, because it's not only the collectibles, it's also, which is a topic that never gets old, the father-son relationship. I mean, like I'm from a divorced household. So my father left the family when I was 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And I'm also carrying some questions with me.
Oh, so, Dennis, I hear you, brother. I grew up with dad living downstairs and mom upstairs.
Yep.
That was me growing up. My older siblings had a different childhood than I did.
Yep.
I regret it. I'm proud of both of them for staying together because I was still there in the house and doing what he had to do and all, and mom too and all that. But you're right. It's stories like that, the backstories of your growing up and your childhood and all that, that who knows, you know, whatever we tell within our Instagram story or whatever could get out there and help somebody.
Yes. And I think fathers can be very weird human beings. I think men can be. But women listening, you can also be weird, just to put it on a record. But I think fathers, this father-son relationship, it's like, yeah, it's so unique, I think. I mean, I'm a Christian too, and like our father up there and we as his sons, it's also very, very special bond.
Yes.
But also to the biological fathers,
it's tough. And you never know what part of your story. And sometimes we go through things and you wonder why. And then down the road, somebody crosses our path and it clicks.
Yeah.
This is why I went through that way back there in order to help this person at this point in time in their life. Because I make things like that. Things and all. But yeah, but that's what makes this journey of mine, I guess, a little unique, crazy, questionable at times, probably, and all that. But that's why my Instagram is not just all cards all the time.
Yeah.
You're going to see some personal stuff and family stuff in there. You're going to see some of the research and all that, because it's a story not just for me and anybody that's following, but I've got grandkids behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're going to grow up. And so it's kind of like, hey, you know, what was Papa Jim research? What was he going after? This gives them a trail. This helps them look back and see some of the things too. And all as far as what you post.
Was there also a moment maybe on this journey where you said, you know what, forget it. Like, I don't want to do it anymore, or something that like was sad or something? No stopping you?
Not really. I may run across a couple of things, and then what I do is I'll usually put it aside for a week or two. Or as you said, you run into those brick walls and it's time to just shut it, put it aside, go on, do something else for a couple of weeks, and then come back to it. Same way a lot of guys with collections, when they're looking for a certain card, you know, it can frustrate them. So it's like, okay, let's just put this away and then come back to it in a few weeks or whenever you can and look for it that way, you know. So not really, because I'm more into looking and trying to find those, you know, digging up those answers. You're trying to find them, man.
And it's also the journey.
It's a journey. When you run across something, just like running across that about the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas. It's like, wow, mom and dad went there. Okay, let me Google search that. And then you find out, oh, this was the college that my mom had gone to that was playing. Well, let's see who the players were. You know, and then you find out it's Jim Brown. Well, hey, that, you know, then it's like, wow, they were there and watching that. It's something that nobody else in the family knows. It's one of those, you know, buried answers kind of thing again.
Crazy.
And I'll just, and there's no telling the other players. I mean, I've got probably a dozen players that I know of that my dad had interactions with or played with, you know, and all. And I guess maybe one of them, one of the early ones was Lamar Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people that know the Kansas City Chiefs and Clark Hunt, who owns them in the Hunt family,
okay,
is Clark's dad.
Okay.
that played second base at SMU as a freshman, and my dad played center field, and my dad's best friend played shortstop. So to find an article that Clark Hunt was on that, you know, or that, that Lamar Hunt was on that team was like, wow, that's crazy to think about.
I can imagine, like in one of those crime movies that you have, like, this big whiteboard with everything
with
on.
Things, right, yeah.
This is suspect. That's a suspect. Ah, oh, he's not that anymore. Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. And it's trying to keep it all straight and everything like that and all. But what's even crazier, Dennis, is to, and I came across this when I first opened up the scrapbooks and started looking at it, but I put it to the side. Mm-hmm. But my dad's grandfather actually played ball back in the early 1900s. He played from like 1903 to 1914.
Wow.
He played in this area on some different teams and things like that. So it's now I've got another avenue to go. And
uh-oh.
Even a guy that he played with, it's got a T206 card that I just got about a month ago. So it's, you know, it was like, wow, this is, you know, this is crazy. You know, to think about that because I had to think about, okay, where did dad just come up with this playing baseball or did mm-hmm. he, or is it from the family? So that's kind of what got me going back further than dad. And yeah. then find out, oh, it's not on my dad's side. It's actually on his mother's side
mm-hmm.
where the baseball lineage kind of came from. And so, you know, so.
Man, what a story.
It's fun, man. It really is. Any free time that I have between, you know, life and family and all that, I look into that.
That's amazing. I'm so happy to hear this story and to get to know you a little more, because I really think it's also good for the listeners to hear those like unique things. And also I think what we can all learn from is also patience and persistence.
Definitely.
So, but also creativity, probably, right?
Right.
You have to be creative. Yeah.
You've got to be creative. You've got to be able to, and you can chase, as they say, you can chase, you know, you can go down those rabbit trails, you know, left and right, but you still have to keep your main focus is, okay, I've got from 51 to 55. Yeah, there's going to be all these little side trails, and I can come back to those, make mm-hmm. a note of them, something like that. And all. But I've come up with a way of going through the scrapbooks. And what I do is I write down the month and year mm-hmm. and then write down the dates. Let me, in fact, I'm sorry, Dennis, let me.
No, of course.
Hang on just a second. Hang on, let me get that book. Hang on.
Easy, no problem. Guys, in between, as Jim is getting something, so I put the Instagram profile and everything in the show notes. You have to check it out. And if, I mean, God knows, if you have some information, if you have something that Jim is looking for in Germany, in Europe, wherever cards end up, we don't know these days, reach out.
Let me just show you, in case anybody wants to do any of this, Dennis, yes. or research it at all, what I do is I come up with, and I put like the month and year at the top of a page,
okay.
and then the dates down the side. And then as I go through the scrapbooks and the year, and I'll write down the different notes and things in here that I find, because you may or may not be able to come across the articles,
mm-hmm.
but it gives you a snapshot of kind of that year, you know, so it gives you an idea of, you know, when he hit, you know, a home run against such and such, or a picture, you know, when he steals a base, or, you know, just different things. And I usually put, you know, on here also, if, you know, kind of around August time, you know, their ages. Because my mom and dad, believe it or not, are just 2 days apart. They were born the
okay.
same year.
Okay.
Strange. But it just gives you a quick timeline. And I do this for every month from 51 through 55. So as I get into that, I can take these papers and look and write stuff down on there that I feel like are for notes that I would want, or somebody down the road might want to look at.
That's amazing.
You know, for research that way. So as I come across it.
Do you feel, does it draw you closer to your father?
I think it does.
Yeah, right.
I really do, because it's that gap that was here between questions and answers is getting smaller. Mm-hmm. Will it ever go this? No, because I'm always going to have questions. There's answers. As I've said, there's buried answers. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get them from anybody and all that. But I think it makes it a little shorter. Yeah. Makes me, I guess, really appreciate him a little bit more. I mean, he was a workaholic to begin with. I knew that growing up. But mm-hmm. then see the hard work and dedication and then how he presented himself as I grew up. Now I know why he presented himself the way he did.
Mm-hmm.
His stance and his walk and his uprightness and all that came from the dedication he had with his baseball. And
the
people that had poured into him, you know, and all from coaching him and helping him up. Well, then he poured it into me, and it's passing it down. Like with you or anybody, you know, it's passing it down through your family.
Amazing.
And all that way. So, yeah.
So, and now Germany and Europe is listening to your story. I mean, who would have thought, right?
I'm blown away by it. I'm like, geez, when you hit me up, I'm like, holy, who is it? Look, and I'm like, wow. Yeah. You know, the people you've had on your show and all that. I'm honored, and I've listened to a lot of them. They're great people.
Your story is the best. Your story is the best for sure. Ned Turner's story is okay too, but this is very unique. So really, thank you for sharing.
Well, I appreciate you, Dennis. I really do.
And yeah, guys, like I said, I put everything that I have in the show notes. Reach out to Jim, like on Instagram. He's approachable. And yeah, if anybody can help, like, who knows, spread the word, spread the podcast, spread his Instagram.
You never know. Thank
help
you.
Each other.
Appreciate you so much and your podcast and everything, man. It's cool. You're really continue great success with it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being a guest, and yeah, have a wonderful day, and yeah, enjoy the heat.
Yes,
if that's possible. But America is like the king of air conditioning, so
as long as the AC stays on, I'm good.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Say hello to your wife from us here in Germany. Also very like you said, very important. So, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Enjoy the journey.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.